Lisa Wilcox is on the line.
Wow.
Lisa Wilcox.
Oh, there she is.
The star of Nightmare on Elm Street.
I recognize that giggle anywhere.
And she's one floor down from me. I can hear her echoing in the hallways now.
echo.
and star of Imago. Ooh. How about that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to Fangoria Radio. I'm Debbie Rochon, Lisa. I just acted with you today in case it slipped your mind. Tony Timpone is also on the line, the editor-in-chief of Fangoria Magazine.
Hey, Lisa. Good to talk to you again.
Yes, indeed. How are you?
Excellent, thanks.
Good.
Oh, we're doing great, and there's actually a lot of things to ask you about, but I just wanted to say that, you know, Lisa's work today really blew my mind. I mean, I loved her in the Nightmare movies, but working with her in person, I mean, you know, we already talked about the importance of the doctor role earlier, Tony, but let me tell you, delivering her character some heartbreaking information and seeing her break down, it was really amazing.
Oh,
amazing work.
Thank you, Debbie. Really, thank you so much.
I said it then, and I say it now, and you know, and I have to say, you know, as per my contract, Milhouse is a genius. And he told us that today, and, you know, we're not going to let him down on that. But first of all, let's tell the folks what Imago's about as much as we can, Lisa.
Yes, let's do that, Deb.
Okay. where do we start? Okay.
Where do we begin? Okay. A lovely girl is looking for her brother, and her history, she hasn't had the greatest growing up. She had an experience that kind of messed her up mentally, shall we say. So she's kind of always bordering on a mental illness, illusions, delusions, this and that, holding on to reality. And now a circumstance has come up where it's impossible to hold on to reality because the reality is real and very scary.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes, I think that says a lot. And think in terms of, this is so horrible, but just so people get a mental image of realities melding, you know, the physical and mm-hmm. another reality, sort of like meeting time and again through these characters. Think, you know, Hellraiser, think Lovecraft, think Clive Barker, mm-hmm. and you're sort of getting into the right sort of genre headspace for this film. It's a lot of mental twists and turns.
Yeah, a lot of surprises, and you don't need, in fact, probably the audience watching this will wonder what's real, what's not, and certainly feeling for the struggle of this gal, you know, mm-hmm. Jennifer.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And she's just lovely, doing just some lovely, lovely work, really enjoying working with her. And then, of course, you played Dr. Gotcha.
The doctor. Okay. You know, I think we should reprise one of our pieces of dialogue today. I think.
Yes, let's.
Okay, do you mind terribly? I'll just go with the one line, and it may not even be right, but you'll know what I'm doing. So are you going to adopt them?
Absolutely.
And cut. There you go. Tony, there's a little slice of the film right
Gee
there for
whiz.
You. A little taste of the amazing dynamic between
I'm feeling
the
magic. I'm
Are
feeling
you?
It.
Oh, we had magic today, baby. We
Whoa.
Had magic.
We did. We did.
And you had also, 104 degrees temperature there in Texas?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm like peeling layers of sweat off my body, I'm telling you. I think I'm going to have to take a third shower.
Oh, really? It really has been incredibly hot. Beyond just go outside and you sweat, but, you know, go onto a set where all ACs are turned off. It's a small space. The crew, the lights, everybody's breathing.
Wow.
Who said they
Heavily.
Could breathe? I don't know. Someone said they could. And it's unbelievable.
Yeah. A gal said that her temperature gauge in her car said 117.
Gee whiz.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
But hey, you know, we had fun today. Wow. What we had a long day today. We went from Houston to Galveston, then we came back. That was our morning. We had three locations today.
Yeah.
I mean, this crew, this produce, they're so ambitious and they're getting it done, man. They are getting it done.
They're getting it done, and they amaze me because truly, this crew is. They're poor. They look like they walked out of a pool, you know, right?
Right?
The amount of sweat on them, and they're still completely positive,
mm-hmm.
you know, just really there for you.
Focused, and yeah, there for us, focused. Next scene, next costume change, next wardrobe, hair change. I mean, my land, I'm so impressed.
Wow,
I'm so impressed.
Too. Absolutely, me too. And not only this movie, but you were telling me today about the webisode series that you're doing with Robert Englund, and that was very cool. What's that about?
This I am. Well, we are all so excited about. It's Robert Englund, Kane Hodder, Danielle Harris, and myself, and along with other cast members. And
wow.
We are really excited. We're directed by the wonderful Robert Hall, who has been one of the top special effects house in Los Angeles, Almost Human, it's called. But he also directs, and he's just fantastic. And this all has kind of come about in this mysterious way with all the sort of the right people and just kind of coming together like this puzzle, like it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the... Writing is fantastic. It's a high-budget webisode. They're taking webisode to a whole new level through fearnet.com. They executive produced it. And we just were at Comic-Con, 2 weeks ago, less than 2 weeks ago. And we saw the 60-minute trailer, and we're like, wow. We're all really impressed. It looks like a $50 million movie.
Wow, and that's called that series is called Fear Clinic.
Fear Clinic, yeah.
And
yeah.
That's on fear.net.
Yeah, fearnet.com.
Oh, fearnet.com.
Fearnet.
Sorry.
I know, a little confusing with the net and the com, but fearnet.com. And it's going to a show middle of October, so be alert. We're planning to do more webisodes, so you don't want to see what the reaction will be and whatnot, but... Just that the cast right there
is stunning.
I mean, and how it all came together is a story in itself.
How long are the webisodes?
They are from anywhere from 6 minutes to like 14 minutes long each. And we did five already, filming out of Los Angeles, and we just had a hoot. You know, we keep saying to each other, going, doesn't this just feel right? This just feels right. Just feels right. And it was a blast, too, to work with Robert Englund again after 20 years.
Well, did you guys share scenes together?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He plays Dr. Andover, who's this, mad scientist doctor curing phobias. And pretty much, you're not going to leave until you're cured.
One way or another.
Yeah,
I love
it. And I'm his, his nurse ratchet, I guess you could say. Like, one flew over the cuckoo's nest, and you don't know if I'm good, you don't know if I'm bad.
Mm-hmm.
Nurse Owens, yes, and we're kind of the Bonnie and Clyde, you know?
Cool.
And then Kane Hodder is kind of keeps the patients in contained and make sure they're locked up when they're supposed to be and that kind of thing.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah, so you have Kane Hodder
and
Robert Englund working together, and they had never ever they'd never worked together before.
And he wait a second, Kane Hodder makes sure people stay locked up.
Well, he's kind of like, imagine if you were in a prison and the guy who makes sure that, you know, your room is locked up and you're staying in control, making sure you're in he keeps you in control.
I love it. That's crazy. Now, Robert Hall, I was just telling Lisa today, Tony, I loved his movie, and for the life of me, I couldn't remember the title. What's it called?
The last Robert Hall movie was Laid to Rest.
Yes, Laid to Rest.
Laid to Rest. That's
right.
It. love that movie, and he was on for that movie, and I was telling Lisa today how much I
loved
it.
Yeah, you kept saying, I love that movie. I love it. I love that movie.
And I was like, damn it, I have to wait for Tony Timpone. I hook up with Tony Timpone. Okay, so there's a question that I have to ask you, Lisa. I didn't know until, you know, I was looking at the IMDb, and, you know, I have to ask you this question, non-genre related.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the unauthorized Brady Bunch, the Final Days movie, where you played Florence Henderson. This is amazing.
Oh, listen to the music. Let's sing along.
It's karaoke. Karaoke Bangoria.
Yeah. Oh, right. I'm clapping. Woo! Okay. I'm clapping. Yes. Yeah, this was something. I got to play Florence Henderson and Carol Brady. It was like a movie within a movie. You know, we're in our, you know, character, but it was kind of like behind the scenes, literally behind the scenes, what was really going on with the producers and the kids and the, you know, the, and what was going on with Greg.
Yes, what
Florence.
Happened? What happened?
Oh,
did
yes,
they
we
hook
had
up?
Oh, we had our date. We had our
really?
Date. In this movie of the week. Yes, we did. And, oh, the guy was the cutest guy. And, yeah, we had our date, and we had a kiss. We had our kiss.
That's
we
it?
We had our kiss. That's it. That's it. That's all
what about
shows.
Real life? Real life. I mean, I know there's books about it that answer this question, but I haven't read them. In real life, did they hook up?
Apparently, they actually did. They went on a date.
Wow.
Yes, and apparently.
That is television.
Yeah,
impact.
But it was a trip. It was a trip. I mean, I had the false eyelashes. I had the mole. I had, remember the haircut she had?
Yes.
The shag haircut. Not the greatest look on her, but, you know, the fuller hair on top with the little things down at the neck, you know. So I had that look, and but it was it was so fun to be on the set. I mean, they brought out these sets. I mean, you know, I watched Brady Bunch when I came home from school. Come
oh,
on.
Yeah.
Of course, they were reruns, but no. But I mean, which is fine. I don't want to age myself. What am I saying?
Yeah.
Anyway.
You mean you heard about it. You heard about this show.
There we go.
That
there
used to run on television, a thing called television.
And, you know, everything we said in school, oh, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. So I got to say a Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. You know, I mean, it was pretty cool. It was very cool.
I know Tony wants to get back to Freddie because, you know, Tony is Fangoria. But just one more question about that. Sherman Sherwood, he was like the producer of that show, right?
Correct, yes.
What was he doing in that particular TV movie?
And he was the one who orchestrated.
The date. No, not the date.
The date, no. That just happened by chemistry.
Oh, my God. That's so weird. So wrong.
Well, I followed the script. I did my lines. You know, what can I say? This is the story they were telling. And, but, yeah, Sherwood, he orchestrated, you know, the kids. And the kids, though, as they had their music career going, they had this, you know, they were performing. And Greg was, you know, had his band and all the fans and he wanted to change his name and, you know, be a, you know, big rock star, you know.
Yeah.
But then that meant, you know, leaving the show and, you know, that kind of thing. So
right.
There was all these behind the scenes too, you know, conversations with the producer.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's so weird because that happened with all these guys. Like David Cassidy was pretty successful, but the Monkees wanted to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just go down the line.
Right. They wanted to break out. They were like,
yeah.
Okay, we did the Brady Bunch, but now I'm – and, you know, these kids grew up on the set. I mean, they grew – and, you know, imagine how much you grow from, you know, being a teen to a later teen, you know.
Yes.
You're like, I want to be my own person, man, you know.
And didn't David Cassidy go out with – his sister Lori, well, I forget the
oh,
actual,
really?
I think they went out.
Well, I didn't play that part, so I don't know.
So you got to get over to that one next.
I got
to
get over
to
that
family. Okay, Tony's dying to actually ask you a horror-related question here and get back
yes.
on the topic.
Yeah,
yes,
I
want
to take you back to the 80s when you made Nightmare on Elm Street 4 and 5, almost back-to-back. That was at the height of Freddy mania. What do you recall of that period and being caught up in the whole craziness of the Freddy Krueger phenomenon when those films would open at number one and there was Freddy tchotchkes all over the place?
It was completely phenomenal to me. It was basically, I did this movie called The Big Cheer during college. In fact, I went to UCLA and I took a semester off to do this film, The Big Cheer. And then but my first like movie, you know, other than plays and whatnot, was Nightmare on Elm Street. And of course, I was a fan of Nightmare on Elm Street. I've been a fan of the genre ever since I was young. You know, a fan of vampire books and film and all of that. So naturally, I would end up in this genre because I do totally love it.
Mm-hmm.
It took our breath away. It really, really did. And I think when we were filming, though, I mean, the script was just so captivating. And it did take Freddie to a different level. I mean, he was witty and comedic. And, I mean, at the time, it was the largest box office hit
mm-hmm.
of all the movies. The actual box office ticket sales were like $50 million.
Wow.
It was, and the previous films had done, you know, 15 or something like that. I believe
right.
Warriors, the number 3, is ultimately, to date, the most successful of them.
Right.
But at the time, Nightmare 4 was the biggest box office. And I think it was because, you know, there was a film that had had comedy in it as well as pathos for the characters, because we really had a good relationship. And I think a lot of people bonded with Alice, the character I played, which is, you know, that the wallflower girl, the one who doesn't feel she fits in, who daydreams, you know, but then who finds power, you know. And I think a lot of people were able to relate to that, you know. So in the end, it was a lot of people. It became a date movie. It finally became a date movie, you know.
Funny.
Yeah, funny. It was great though. It was fun. I remember going to the mall and there'd be these teenage girls, and you know, I'm at Contempo or something, and they're like, "Oh my God, there's Alice!" and they like look at you like a poster, like you're not real. They just like kind of point at you. It was really wild. I'm like, yeah, it was fun. It was really fun.
That's
you know,
cool.
It's funny because we, Lisa and I actually were interviewed by a local team. it's very funny because we were in the RV and we were laying, it was so hot, we were laying in bed being interviewed because we were like, just send them in. We're not getting up. So we were like laying down. I mean, it was like, and it was great, though.
Was great.
We decided it was a wonderful way to be interviewed.
Yeah, and Deb's like, you know, this is like the Godfather.
Yeah, exactly. Bring them in. Bring them in one at a time. We'll speak to them. But, okay.
Because we were able to stay cool in there because there was no other place to have air conditioning. That was the only room.
Although we didn't sit up, if you noticed. We stayed laying down.
While
we were
on pillows.
That's crazy. But, you know, we're talking about dumb questions. Well, guess what? I have one for you that you're asked a million times. We were joking about that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, not – well, go.
It is. Trust me, it is. But I really do want to know. Craziest fan story or one of them.
Craziest fan story.
You know, having to do with Nightmare. Because so many people, including Melhouse, our guy – is really obsessed with the movie, loves it, just lives it.
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street, and his wife,
yes.
whose name is Melanie. Isn't that
yes.
cute? Melanie and Mel House, they're the cutest couple. And they they have all the Nightmare on Elm Street posters except for 5, because apparently that one's hard to get, so I'll have to work on that for them.
Yeah.
But they have all the posters in their house, and yeah, they were huge. And that's one of the reasons why I think they married.
I think so.
He met a woman, he met a gal who was like into horror films. And particularly Nightmare on Elm Street. So I would, we do these autograph shows. Debbie, I know you've done them, the autograph shows and whatnot. And you meet, you know, any people from school teachers and moms, dads. Now there's like generations of people coming in. You know, there's grandma, mom, daughter, grandchild, you know, coming in. It's like, you know, it's amazing how these films have transcended generations. It's just fantastic. And there's this one gal, she's such a doll, and she'll come to the table, like, this is in Connecticut, and she'll come to your table, like, 6 times throughout the day. And she has flowers ready for you, she brings you candy, she has pictures of herself, you know, she had this one picture of herself holding celery, and we weren't sure what that was about, but we were all for her enthusiasm.
Yeah.
You know?
The celery shot! Yes.
She's like cradling celery, and I'm like, that's an interesting, that could be a film. Let's see, let me think about that.
And potentially Freudian, too.
Yeah,
Tony Timpone.
Okay, all right, start writing script.
That. You know, Stacy writes in, is Mel standing over your shoulders checking what gets leaked? P.S. Kiss Melanie, goose Mel, and pinch Marcus's cheek for me. She obviously knows all the people we're working with.
Who sent this?
Stephanie, actually, traumatized one of our listeners, but also a really good friend of ours, all of ours.
Oh.
She's awesome. And you will meet her, I'm sure, very soon at the next, if you end up on, well, you live in the West Coast, so
mm-hmm.
the next show you very well might meet her, and she's amazing. Yes, Mel does stand over our shoulders and make sure that we're saying the right thing.
Yeah.
He says, so long as you use the word genius in the same sentence as my name.
All right, I'm going to say, I'll just say brilliant. How about that?
Okay, you could mix it up. You can
mix it up. Yeah, well, you know, you in the contract, you say genius, and I'll put in my contract brilliant. You know?
Yes, and just to have a variation there.
All right, very good. So, Debbie, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So I want to turn up, what's the most interesting fan story you have to tell us?
I don't know if it's the – well, I have a couple of most interesting. The shorter one is someone walked up to me with a slice of pizza and asked me to sign it with a magic marker, and I did, and then they ate it. So, I don't know, more food. I mean, it always has to do with food, I guess.
Yeah, I've got the celery, you've got the pizza.
Yes.
Now, I should have the pizza. I had that pizza scene in Nightmare 4 when
right.
all my friends were little sausage heads on the pizza. And Freddy's eating them.
And then he pooped out my signature at some point, I imagine.
All right, I'm not even going there.
It's flushed down the Hudson. Who knows where it is now? Someone's selling it on eBay in some form. Tony?
Well, not me.
All I can say is I am so excited about the...
Yeah.
Well, you know, all the fans out there, because I took a long hiatus. Guys,
9 years.
I left 9 years. 9 years. And, you know, on purpose, I had my kids and, you know, started a business and, you know, all that. And so I'm getting back in. And I tell you, if it weren't for, you know, all the, you know, so many people that, you know, the series, it means a lot to them. It means so much to me, too. I mean,
yeah.
Really, it's a big part of my life.
Right, absolutely.
Well, welcome back. We missed you, Lisa.
Thank you. Oh,
don't be a stranger.
Thank you, Tony.
No, she's not going to be. And, you know, I'm telling you right now, once people see her work again, I mean, they're watching her work all the time, but they see what she's doing now, it's just... Her phone's going to be ringing off the hook, Tony. She won't even answer our calls anymore. Believe me. It's
all right.
Just amazing.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood, baby.
Well, amazing. And, thank you. I know you're just one floor down from me right now, and I'm going to see you in the morning for
okay.
our pickup. But thank you so much, Lisa Wilcox, for joining us tonight. Working on Imago in Texas with me and Chris Warren, the director, Milhouse, the writer and producer,
yep.
and everybody else. And... thanks for coming on Fangoria Radio.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Tony.
You're
thanks
welcome.
For having me.
And I'll see you in the morning.
See you in the morning.
Come on back.
Okay.
Here.
Have a good night.
Bye. Cheers.
Okay.
Okay.